This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
More bad news for Europe. Spain struggles with the new round of troubles.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. Overseas markets are getting hammered this morning on new worries about Spain. The euro has hit a 12-year low against the Japanese yen. Joining us now to discuss is our own Stephen Beard in London. He joins us live. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Stacey.
Stephen, Spain just got a bank bailout on Friday. So what's got the markets upset now?
Well, the bank bailout, yeah, the Spanish government and the European authorities led us to believe that once the Spanish banks had been bailed out, that would be it. That would be the end of the story. Well, it clearly isn't. Investors are now fretting that the Spanish central government is going to need a bailout too, because spending by regional governments is out of control. Valencia asked for government help on Friday, and on Sunday, another region said it would need help too.
Is the Spanish government going to ask its European partners or the IMF for a bailout?
Well, their borrowing costs certainly are at the sort of level where you'd expect it, 7.5% this morning. This is the level at which Portugal, Ireland and Greece got bailed out. So investors certainly reckon Spain will ask for a bailout, but not yet, perhaps. August is looming after all, and Europe goes on holiday. Although Stephen Lewis of Monument Securities points out the markets won't be on vacation.
Well, I think the crisis will rage through August in the financial markets, but I don't think that the authorities in Europe will pay much attention to it during that month. Of course, that means that by the end of the month, we'll be facing a very serious situation indeed.
September could be the cruelest month for the euro. The Times newspaper here this morning reports that the IMF is completely fed up with Greece and will pull the plug on Greece in September.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Stacey.
That news from Spain is rattling the markets this morning. London's FTSE is down 1.75%. Germany's DAX is down 1.5%. Asian markets slid sharply this morning. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index fell 3%, its second worst day of the year. U.S. markets took a beating on Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 0.9% to close at 12,822. The 19th International AIDS Conference is underway in Washington, D.C. As Elizabeth Wynn Johnson reports, we've reached a critical juncture in the fight against AIDS.
The fight to end the AIDS pandemic has required decades of translating basic research into clinical breakthroughs. The rate of new HIV infections has leveled off, and just last week, the Food and Drug Administration approved the first HIV prevention pill, a pivotal moment for the International AIDS Conference to land in the nation's capital, says Chris Collins. He's vice president of AMFAR, the Foundation for AIDS Research.
We now have the tools to begin to end AIDS. And the question is, will we use them strategically? Will we invest appropriately to realize the potential of this moment?
Earlier this year, President Obama released a proposed budget that includes roughly a 10% reduction in U.S. funding for global HIV/AIDS programs. Just days ago, the administration announced plans to distribute $69 million to help states eliminate their growing wait lists for AIDS drug assistance programs. It's funding that had already been set aside for the cause. I'm Elizabeth Wynn Johnson for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Teach for America, the program that recruits recent college grads to work in underperforming schools, is making a push into the political arena. Former TFA grads, as they're known, have won seats in state houses and on local school boards. WPLN's Blake Farmer has more on one tight race in Nashville.
Teach for America has all the ingredients to become a political powerhouse. There are thousands of bright young college grads, often from elite universities, who can be tapped as campaign foot soldiers.
All right, let's get you all some shirts.
At a recent candidate forum, current and former Corps members pass out T-shirts supporting one of their own. Candidate John Hobenreich worked for TFA in Newark, New Jersey. He's now an attorney who sees public office as an extension of his time teaching high school English.
It's producing a generation of leaders who know what it's like to teach in an urban classroom like that.
Teach for America is encouraging its alums to run. In 2008, the organization spun off Leadership for Educational Equity. The separate nonprofit prepares former Corps members for public office, and it's had some success in the Colorado and Maryland state legislatures. Perhaps it was only a matter of time, but now Teach for America is fielding enough candidates that two have shown up in the same race.
As an official organization, they're having an interesting policy quandary as to what to do.
In a campaign to unseat Nashville's school board chair, Hobenreich is joined by Alyssa Kim, who taught in New Orleans. She stayed on with TFA and is now the chief recruiter. She's gotten fundraising help from her TFA colleagues, including the CEO herself, but she downplays the affiliation.
I think at the end of the day, right, like what I'm for are great schools.
Kim is not the first TFA employee to run for school board, but her day job does create a potential conflict. In the more than 40 cities where TFA works, school boards pay the organization to come to town. Kim says she has nothing to do with those contracts.
Regardless, I would recuse myself from any discussion or decision involving Teach for America, because Teach for America will stand on its own merits or not.
So far, the local school system has been impressed with TFA, increasing the number of recruits it hires each year. But hiring more Teach for America alums for public office, that's up to the voters. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And finally, you know those fuel surcharges that get tacked onto your plane ticket price? A new survey from Carson Wagonlit Travel found those surcharges are rising faster than fuel costs themselves. The fees U.S. airlines charge us for fuel have jumped more than 50% since last year. Actual fuel prices have risen less than half that. It seems in the world of airline fees, what goes up just keeps on going up. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.